Good morning again. We're going to be in Philippians chapter 3. And I want to make sure I say this the right way, but this day is great. I mean, this is the day we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. But the reality is, this should be our every day. Every single day, we should focus on Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. So while this day is special because it's the day we focus on it, it's really just another day. They're all incredible in Christ. While you're turning to Philippians 3, let me ask you a question. Why are you here today? Why did you get out of bed and get dressed up and come here earlier than you normally would? Why are you here today? Let's read Philippians 3, 8 through 11 together. This is Paul speaking here, and this is the Word of God, starting in verse 8. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. What are you doing here today? Do you want to know Christ? Do you want to know the power of his resurrection? I will not stand here today and give you my wisdom and my thoughts. I want you to experience the living God of the universe. I want you to know the power of his resurrection. If you came here this morning all dressed up, ready to play Christian for the day and to feel good while you're doing it, then you've wasted your time. If, on the other hand, you have come to hear from God, if you have come here to consider the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, if you have come here to consider the resurrection power, if you have come here to consider the mighty power of God, if you have come here to deny yourselves and worship your God, then let's prepare our hearts to do so. Let's pray together. Father, dear Father in heaven, help us now. Empower us to know Christ. Help us to know the power, the mighty power of the resurrection. Holy Spirit of God, fill us. Holy Spirit of God, teach us. Show us these things. Open our eyes spiritually. Open our ears. Let us hear. Father, may this affect us for the rest of our lives. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to Romans 6. We are about to read a very rich passage, and you know me, we're going to dig into the details. I would be in here in weeks, so I'm going to do my best to keep this as simple as possible, even though considering it's Romans. First, we'll see Paul pose a couple of questions, and then we'll briefly explore the realities of our union with Christ and the knowledge that comes along with that union. And then we'll get to the meat of the message. But first, here are the questions Paul poses in Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 1. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Paul asks, how can we who have died to sin still live in it? And then Paul asks another question, and then he explains the reality of our union with Christ and what we know. Verse 3. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like this, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like this. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. And in verse 7, we will see the glorious reality and truth that flows from our union with the death of Christ. Verse 7, for one who has died has been set free from sin. For the one who has died has been set free from sin. Friday evening, this Good Friday evening, Pastor Titus preached about the death of Jesus on the cross. And he expounded well on it. He shared the truth of the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. And we need to know, understand, and believe the death of the sinless Son of God on the cross has reconciled us to the living God. The reality that we are united with Christ in his death and set free from sin is a reality and a truth we need to renew our minds by faith. But be clear about this. If Jesus is dead, if Jesus is still then dead, then we are still dead in our sins. If Jesus is dead, we are still dead. If Jesus is dead, then my faith is futile. My preaching is in vain. And we are to be people most pitied. But brothers and sisters in Christ, he is alive. And verse 5 is real. If we have been united with him in a death like this, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like this. And that is why we have verse 8. Look at it. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him. Now we are in the meat of this passage. And there are three realities we're going to look at. The first one is belief, faith, right? We walk with God by faith. We must believe God. Secondly, we'll look at consideration. We must consider, think about, and set our minds on those things that we believe. And three, we'll look at victory. As we believe and consider, we have victory because of Christ. So belief, consideration, and victory. Look back at verse 8 and we'll see what we believe. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him. We believe we will live with him. This is a present tense verb. It literally says we keep on believing. We keep on believing that we are alive with Christ. We keep on believing that we will live with Christ forever. Keep your finger in Romans and turn to Colossians chapter 2. Where does belief that we live with Jesus come from? Where does belief that we live with Jesus come from? Colossians chapter 2, and we'll start in verse 6. This is the word of God. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. And let's pause here. I love the warning Paul gives us next. If I have a soapbox that I tend to stand on, then this would be it. And I'm glad Paul feels the same way. Verse 8. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. And you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Watch closely now. Watch for the faith. Verse 12. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. In verse 12, we see that our faith is in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. Our position in Christ, our belief that we live in him, comes from faith in the powerful working of God. Do you believe in the powerful working of God that raised Jesus from the dead? At Country Bible Church, we love the gospel. We are gospel lovers. We preach the gospel, we teach the gospel, and we protect the gospel. Pastor and Bobby and Titus are leaving for a conference tomorrow, and the title of it is Together for the Gospel. I'm afraid that often we talk about the gospel and we leave Jesus dead on the cross. Or we leave Jesus dead in the tomb. We tell people Jesus loves you and he died for your sins. Believe in Jesus. We tell people Jesus shed his blood and you are forgiven. Believe in Jesus. But are we telling people that God raised Jesus from the dead? Are we telling people about the powerful working of God? Are we telling people to have faith in the mighty power of God? We must believe God has the power to raise Jesus from the dead. We must believe in the resurrection of Christ. We must believe Jesus is alive, and in him, so are we. Paul says it's worth everything to know Christ. He knows Christ, and he knows the power of the resurrection. Flip back to Romans 6. So first was belief. We must have faith in the powerful working of God. Next, let's look at the consideration. Let's start in verse 8 again. So back in Romans chapter 6, verse 8. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ. Because Christ died, because Christ lives to God, we must also consider ourselves, reckon ourselves, put these things together in our mind and set our focus on these things. We must also consider ourselves two ways. Look back at verse 11. What's the first one? So you must also consider yourselves, next three words, please. Dead to sin. Dead to sin. I want to. I long to consider myself dead from sin. I am so sick and tired of sinning against the living God who has freed me from it. I want to consider myself dead to sin. That is the Good Friday truth. Let's look at the Resurrection Sunday truth in verse 11. So you must also consider yourselves dead to sin. That was number one. And the second one, and alive to God in Christ Jesus. We must consider ourselves alive to God in Christ Jesus. Christ was dead, but now he lives. And he lives his life to God. So we must consider ourselves dead to sin and alive to God. Brothers and sisters, this is where the rubber meets the road. If we died with Christ, we believe we are alive with him. Our faith must be in the powerful working of God. We are alive to God. Don't miss this. We are alive to God. We are not alive to ourselves. We are not alive to our jobs or to food. We are not alive to our families, and we are not alive to idols. We are not alive to anyone or anything else but God. We must consider ourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. The life we live is a life we live towards God. First, we must believe. We must have faith in the powerful working of God. Second, we must consider. We must consider ourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ. Third is victory. As we believe and we consider, we have victory then because of Christ. Regarding victory, let me first say this. Victory is not something we earn. Christ has fought the battles and already won them for us. We must believe and we must consider the reality of who we are and what we have in Christ. Victory, overcoming the world, is faith, believing God. Victory in Christ is found in both the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Look back at verses 5 through 7 with me. For if we have been united with him in a death like this, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like this. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. We'll keep this truth simple, because it is simple. Freedom is victory. Our being united with Christ in his death has given us victory. Simply put, the death of Christ gives us victory over sin. Period. The only battle we have against is deception and not believing that truth. So the death of Christ gives us victory over sin. What is the victory we have in the resurrection of Christ? Look back at our passage in verse 5. For if we have been united with him in a death like this, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like this. We are certainly united with him in a resurrection. verse 8 and 9. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. We are united with Christ in his death and in his life. Death has no dominion over him. It has no dominion over us. We will never die. The death of Christ gives us victory over sin. The resurrection of Christ gives us victory over death. God has freed us from sin and given us life to live for him. God has freed us from sin and given us life to love him. He has freed us from sin and given us life to love each other. God has freed us from sin and given us life to glorify him. Look back at verse 4. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Listen now. Our faith in Christ, being born again believers in Christ, has set us on a journey. We have a new life in Christ. And this is a lifelong journey for us. Living a life to God, living a life to God, is possible because of the death and resurrection of Christ. Considering and believing the truth of the victories we have in both his death and resurrection is how we live for him in victory. Who here believes they are dead in sin and alive to God in Christ? Any amens? Amen. For those of you who believe, is it easy to live for God? It can be very, very hard. It is a battle. Let's finish this passage and be encouraged in our walks. Romans 6, 11 through 14. So you must also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let sin, therefore, not reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. This is important. Sin has no power over us. Sin has no power over us because we are no longer under the law. We live under grace. Grace. Freedom to love God is found in the grace of God. Our struggles are because we are deceived. We don't believe God. We need to know who we are and what we have in Christ. Easter is a religious holiday, and I got to tell you, God is not about a religion. God is about relationship. Paul in Philippians says, "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord." Knowing God has nothing to do with legalistic rituals. Turn to Galatians 4. Are you caught up in religion? Is the love of God real to you? Are you experiencing God? Are you experiencing God as your Father? Galatians chapter 4. Starting in verse 1, this is Paul again, and this is the Word of God. Jumping into context here, forgive me for that, but I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. But he is under the guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were enslaved to those that by nature are not God's. But now you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God. How can you turn back again to the weak and worthless elemental principles of the world, whose slaves you want to be once more? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I am afraid that I have labored over you in vain. Can't you just see Paul's frustration with the Galatians? God is our Father. We know God, and God knows me. Why would we ever want to go back to the bondage of legalism? Don't we get it? Brothers and sisters, we are free. We are dead to sin and alive to Christ Jesus. We are his children, and we are free to love him. Okay. One more truth that blows this whole thing wide open. Paul says in Philippians, indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For this sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Turn to Ephesians 1 and then we'll be done. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 13. In him, speaking of Jesus, in Jesus you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened. Let's pause here. Paul is praying for God, the Father of glory, to give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation of knowledge of him, and to have the eyes of their hearts enlightened. For three things. We're going to start back in 16, But I want you to watch closely for the third reason, which is in verse 19. Back in 16 now. I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation and the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which you are called, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance to the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The Father of glory, I pray, gives us the spirit of revelation and wisdom and knowledge of him, that our eyes would be enlightened and our hearts to know the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe. Oh, brothers and sisters, we need to settle in our heart of hearts once and for all that Christ is everything. Knowing him and knowing the power of his resurrection. Are we praying for this? Are we crying out to our Father? I don't want the wisdom of man. I don't want traditions and religions. I want to know Christ. I want to know my Savior who died for me. I want to know the power of God toward us. The mighty power of God that created everything. The mighty hand of God that delivered Israel from Egypt. And the powerful working of God that raised Jesus from the dead. Dear God, I want to know the power that you have towards me, that I may live for you in Christ Jesus, my Lord. Let's pray together. Oh, Father of glory, thank you for Christ. Thank you that he died for us. And that because of that, we are dead with him and now freed from sin. Thank you even more that you raised him from the dead. And because we were dead with him, we are now alive with him as well. And we will live with you forever. May those two truths come together in our minds, Father. And may we consider them, may we believe them, and may we live them. Father, reveal to each one of us your mighty power. May we believe in that power. May we live in that power. Father, may we fall more in love with you, and may we fall more in love with each other, and may the love of Christ in us shine brightly in the world. I pray in Jesus' name.